All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the back to the book of 1 John and chapter 4. And today we're beginning a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. And our theme verses for this sermon series is Galatians 5, chapter 22, or 5 verses 22 to 23. Sorry, I'm just going to mute everything. All right, mute everything else, please, besides this. Gracias, Peggy. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And a passage that's known to many of us, and where the Apostle Paul lists 9 attributes or virtues of the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And the word fruit refers to these attributes or virtues that characterize a godly life that's produced by the Holy Spirit and is enjoyed by those who walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit and are not seeking to be justified or made right with God by the works of the law. So that's the context there in Galatians 5. And the fruit of the Spirit is going to serve as the outline for our sermon series. And we'll be turning to different parts of Scripture in the Bible that address these 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions. But since this is our first message in this series, I'm going to read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. In fact, if you want to read it along with me, we'll have it up here on the screen. The words of the Apostle Paul are theme verses for this series. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Amen. So, if you notice there, the first of attribute of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that brings us to the title of today's message. The fruit of the Spirit and the call to love one another. Today we're going to take a look at the topic of love, God's love. And in Galatians 5, where Paul lists these 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, it's in a context where he has just before that talked about the freedom we have in Christ, which we'll also look at today, and how we are to use that freedom to love and serve one another rather than live according to our sinful flesh. And if we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit and loving one another go hand in hand. So we're going to see that today. And we've turned to 1 John chapter 4 because it's one of the most powerful passages in Scripture about God's love and how God's love should be flowing through you and I to one another. So in that context, let's pick up 1 John chapter 4. The author does not identify himself. Early church fathers tell us the Apostle John, who also wrote 2 and 3 John, probably the book of Revelation and the gospel according to John. And he's writing to Christians probably in the 80s to 90s AD. There's been some attack within the local church on correct belief in Jesus, and there's strife and division in the church. And so one of the themes he addresses is believing right, living right, and also loving one another. So in that context, 1 John 4 will cover verses 7 to 12. And notice how he addresses those he's writing to. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you, God who is love, that love comes from you, that your love flows through us, and that because we're born of you, if we believe in Jesus, we are empowered to love one another. And we pray, Father, that you would give us greater wisdom this hour, greater motivation, greater power to love one another as you have loved us. That we would also recognize the connection that has with this call to bear the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, as notice in this passage, twice John uses the word beloved for who he's writing to. And that's part of the good news of the gospel, that if you're in Christ, you are beloved. God loves all people, but those who are Christians experience his love in a different way because he has acted on them in a different way. And it's offered to unbelievers, but if part of the good news of the gospel is, regardless of how the world treats you or whoever has treated you or however you failed, if you're in Christ, you are beloved. Hallelujah. And then with that, he also twice uses the phrase of loving one another. So that'll serve as our first two main points, and then we'll conclude with a word about how this call to love one another relates to the fruit of the Spirit. So first of all, beloved, let us love one another. Verse 7. That's how it begins. John says, beloved, he's already used this word earlier in chapter 4. And this is who he's writing to, Christians. We're not sure exactly which churches, and might have been some of the same churches that Revelation was written to. But he writes to him and says, beloved. And that's a word for you. You're beloved. We live in a world that knocks us down, kicks us, steps on us, and sometimes we've been the ones that have done that to others. We received grace and mercy, as Doug led us in prayer earlier for. But no, we're beloved. That's how God views us. New Testament scholar Robert Yarbaugh tells us this about love language that John uses in the scriptures that he writes. In 1 John, the word love is used 46 times. In 2 and in the Gospel of John, he uses that word 44 times. Third place, if anyone likes stats, goes to the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, where the word is used 20 times. But here in 1 John, it's only 5 chapters long, and the word love shows up 46 times. It's a key theme in 1 John. So if you like to read about love, go to the book of 1 John, among others. And here he is calling us to love one another, and he's going to ground this in the fact that God is love, and love comes from God, and so forth. Also, as we think about this whole idea of love, we'll see that John is emphasizing that love, it flows out of who God is, and then that affects who we are and how we live. And here he gives 3 reasons why we should love one another. Notice here it's the let us love one another. Then he's going to use the word ought the second time. But first it's almost kind of like, come on, join in this journey. Let us love one another. And he gives 3 reasons why. Here's the first one. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And if we're a Christian, the things that we want to be and the things that we want to do, we want that to come from God. And he begins with this. Let us love one another. So let's be thinking about you and I. And the focus here is our love for brothers and sisters in Christ. We're called to love our families, whether they're Christians or not. We're called to love our neighbors, whether they're Christian or not. We're called to love our enemies. But here the focus is on our love for one another. And as we go through these verses, we can be thinking about, is that something I'm doing? Are there things in my life that would reflect the fact that I love the people who are sitting next to me or in front of me or behind me? And again, it's not just limited to this, but when we go through this passage, one thing we should be thinking about, and one thing when we think about the fruit of the Spirit that should come to mind is, in what ways am I loving the people of Lake Region Bible Church? Or if you're part of another local church, in what ways am I loving my brothers and sisters in that local church? And it's not limited to just that local church, but that's the starting point. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. He uses a word here, agape. There's different Greek words used for love. Here, relying on the Apostle Paul again, 1 Corinthians 13, a passage that's well known, often read at weddings, and the context has to do with the church and spiritual gifts and so forth. But in 1 Corinthians love, Paul gives us a biblical definition of love, which, as you'll see, includes other attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Here's biblical love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast in a sinful way. It's good to boast in the Lord, but not about ourselves. It is not arrogant, prideful, or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Hallelujah. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. This kindness, this patience, this humility, this refusal to boast about ourselves, but boast in the Lord, this not being irritable or resentful, this rejoicing in the truth, this is from God. This is where it comes from. And John will build on that as we move forward. But just to begin with, here's his call. Let us love one another. And it's the same theme that is in Galatians 5 in the context where the fruit of the Spirit comes up. So we're going to love one another. And the first reason he says is because love is from God. And this description that I just read from 1 Corinthians 13, that biblical love is from God. But now what's the connection? So what? Love is from God. How does that relate to me or you? Well, for a Christian, it's all important, so here's his next reason. Let us love one another because we are born of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. Now, he's not saying that if you love, that will make you born of God, but it's actually the reverse. If you are found to be someone who loves in the way the Bible's talking about, that's a sign that you've been born of God. Let me just briefly comment on here. To be born of God, it's an expression, the Bible uses different phrases that mean the same thing. To be born of God is also to be born again, or born from above, where all of us are created by God. In his image, he loves us. Whether we're a Christian or not, whatever our beliefs, he loves us. But we have a sin problem. We're born, we're conceived in sin. We have a sin nature. It's like, if you go to the doctors, they'll want to know your medical history with your family and so forth. All of us have inherited a sin nature from Adam. That's what Scripture teaches. We are sinners by nature. We are also sinners by choice. And that sin has caused us to be dead toward God. But to be born of God means he has caused us to become alive in a relationship with him. We're already physically alive, although ultimately this body will die. But to be born of God means we have become alive spiritually. We are born from above. We are born again. John uses the phrase born of God here. And if we're born of God, this is another good part of the good news of the gospel. If we're born of God, the Holy Spirit, not only do we become alive spiritually, but the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and he, who's a person, the Spirit, changes our hearts and empowers us and motivates us to begin obeying God. One of the commands is to love one another. So to put that another way, if you're a Christian, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you will begin to live a different life even without trying. Now that doesn't mean it doesn't matter how we live, and we'll get to that in a moment. But when we become a Christian, God has caused us to be born of him. We are now a new creation, and our heart has changed, our perspective has changed, and we start living differently. And one of the things that means is we're going to love in the way the Bible calls us to love. Why? Because we're born of God. It happens automatically. Now, we are still called to put effort into this, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And part of what John is doing here is telling Christians, this is who you are. You're born of God. Therefore, this is how you should live. And if we're born of God, we're going to start living that way regardless, but part of the way we live life to the fullest in the Lord is by knowing how we should live. So let us love one another. Love is from God, and because we're born of God. So in other words, this comes with being a Christian. And just in your sermon notes there on the back, you can look at in your own time there, but there's just as a side note, in 1 John, he is writing, in the book of John, the Gospel according to John, he writes at chapter 20, he says, so that we would believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we would have life in his name. He tells us at the end of the book why he writes John. In 1 John, he's writing to Christians who already believe in Jesus, and he's writing so that we would have assurance that we have eternal life. And perhaps you've experienced that. Is there anyone here who's a Christian where perhaps at one point you've doubted your Christian faith, or maybe you've just wondered, I want assurance. John gives us some assurance, and he does it in three ways. He talks about what do we believe? Do we believe in Jesus? And not just basic things, but that he's the divine Son of God and he became human. So that's doctrine. There's also the ethical issues of, are we obeying God's commands? Obeying God's commands does not make us a Christian, but it's a reflection that we are a Christian, one of which is we love one another. And then that touches on the third one, the relational. If we are found to be a people who loves one another, that's a sign that we're a Christian. Chris choosing to love Jeff and Jeff choosing to love Bob does not make them a Christian. But it's a sign that they are. And let me also just say, obviously people who are not religious, people who are not Christians can love, because we've all been created in the image of God. So we have the capacity to love in different ways. It's flawed, but we can love. But when, here, the love that John's talking about is a love that's a biblical love that, first of all, is going to be a love for God, including the person of Jesus. So if we're not a Christian, we are someone who's not going to be loving Jesus. If we truly love Jesus, we are a Christian. So when the Bible talks about not being able to love if we're not born of God, it's not saying that we can't have love in general. Many parents who are not Christians have love for their children, for example. But it's talking about a love that is, first of all, a love for God, a Christ-centered love, and second of all, a love in which we want to obey the Word of God. And with that, the focus here, we want to love one another within the fellowship of the church in the way the Bible calls us to. So, let us love one another. Love is from God. We're born of God. And then he gives one more reason. Because we know God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And I love this part of what John is saying here, because, and perhaps you've experienced this, as we grow in the sense of knowing God, and knowing God is not just an intellectual thing, but it's an experience. We experience God as we come to know him. And biblically, the idea of knowing has to do, again, not just with intellectual understanding or knowing about, but an experience of. So to know God has to do with experiencing him. And because we know him, we've been born of God, we're spiritually alive, that empowers us to love one another. Also, because we know God and love comes from him, we are a people who loves one another. And as we know God, we are changed at the inner core of our being. As we walk with God and grow in knowing him more, by God's grace, we become less and less self-centered and more God-centered. And the more God-centered we are, the more his love is going to flow through us and his love is going to touch one another. And then John builds on this idea of knowing God in verses 8 to 10. Anyone who does not love does not know God. And here again, the idea is not just love in general, but if anyone does not love in the biblical sense of you love God the most, and you want to love people, not just care for them in general, but we want to love people according to what the Bible says, and so forth. If anyone does not love in that sense, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In 1 John, there's two statements about God. There's two God is statements. One is God is light. That's in 1 John 1. And here in 1 John 4, God is love. Hallelujah. As we know, because we know God, who is love, and love comes from him, we are going to be found to be a people who love one another. And then he builds on this in verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And God's love manifests in what God does and in who Jesus is, his only unique beloved Son. Hallelujah. And God sent him so that we might live through him. He sent Jesus into this world so that we might live through him. And that's part of how we experience knowing God. In verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Biblical love is that which God does for us first. And then that calls for a response. And it's a love that's not earned. It's a love that we don't deserve. But in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Biblical love is a God-centered love. It flows out of God. Love comes from God because God is love. Hallelujah. We have loved, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation has to do with, refers to God's anger, his wrath about our sin. But through Jesus Christ and his righteous life and death and resurrection, God's anger about our sin is propitiated. It is turned from wrath to favor because the penalty's been paid. And God, who is love, is also a God that's angry about sin. But his anger is appeased. He's the God who's slow to anger, but he is a God who's angry about sin because it offends him and because sin wounds and destroys you and me. Our sin destroys others. Our sin destroys ourselves. Other people's sin destroys us. God is angry about our sin, but through what Jesus did, his anger is turned toward favor. The penalty's been paid. His anger's been appeased. And we can experience his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this first beloved call is, beloved, let us love one another. And Lake Region Bible Church, let's do it. Let's be, first of all, keep on keeping on. Many of us are walking in this. We are looking in daily concrete ways to be loving one another, being invested in one another's lives, going the extra mile when we need help, loving one another by discipling one another, involved in Christian fellowship, conversations, praying for one another, studying the Bible together, serving one another, helping with one another if we have kids, serving in the ministries of the church, and so forth, loving one another. And we do this because we're obeying John's words, let us, we're joining in this journey, let us love one another. Because this biblical love, it's from God. We've been born of God, so it's going to come naturally. We are Christians, therefore we love one another because this is part of who we are. We love one another because love is from God, because we are born of God, and because we know God. And as we grow in knowing God, this is another reason to be reading through the Old Testament scriptures as well as the New Testament and get a glimpse, just a little bigger glimpse of the greatness and glory of God. That inspires us to love him. To read through, you can read through the book of Ruth, and it only takes a little, it's only four chapters, and you just see the loving, faithfulness, sovereign hand of God over Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and so forth. It's a marvelous story. And we read through that, and as we do so, we are growing in knowing God, and knowing God inspires us to want to love and including love one another. Well, here's the second key command. Beloved, we ought to love one another. First he says, let us. Now he says, we ought to. And reasons why he's already said, but he builds on this. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So let us love one another. Now he says, we also ought to love one another. And again, there's three reasons. The first one is right here in verse 11. We ought to love one another because God so loved us. Love is from God. God is love. God has so loved us. If you're a Christian, you've experienced that in different ways. And the love that we've experienced from God motivates us and empowers us to love one another. We ought to love one another because God has loved us. And that's what he's saying here. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Well, and the if there is, yes, he has, but John's writing it in a way to get our attention. It causes us to pause and, oh, has God loved me? Yes, he's loved me. He's loved me by sending his son. He's loved me by revealing himself to me. He's loved me by drawing me to himself and opening my eyes to see that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and I need him. Or maybe you haven't come to that point yet, but by the fact that either you're here or maybe you're watching by live stream or listening, maybe God is working in your heart. And if you're not sure, but you're like, I want to know that I'm born of God. I want to know that I've experienced God's love in a saving relationship. God loves all people, but that's at a basic level. To experience his love when he saves us is something that's offered to you. Put your faith in Jesus. Say, Jesus, I believe you're Lord. I don't understand everything in the Bible, but by faith, I believe you're Lord. I receive you as Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be a new creation. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want the Holy Spirit indwelling in me and empowering me. I want to know that I have what's promised to me, eternal life with you in the new heaven and earth when Jesus comes back. And if I die before that happens, I know where I'm headed, and I want to go there, into the very presence of God in heaven. Put your faith in Jesus. For those of us that have had, we've experienced God loving us, and that's one reason why we ought to love one another. And then John adds to it, we ought to love one another also, for God abides in us. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. We've not seen God. There's a day coming where we will see him face to face. We'll be given resurrected bodies. We'll no longer have sin. We'll be able to be in the presence of God and see him in his glory in a way that humans have not been permitted to do so. Moses, when God raised up Moses and he's using Moses to lead the people into the promised land. And in Exodus, I think it's chapter 33, Moses is like, I want to see your glory. And God allowed, speaking in human terms about God, he allowed Moses to kind of see his back as he passed him by. But he couldn't see God in his fullness and glory because he would have been consumed, because Moses, like you and I, is a sinner. But there's a day coming where we will see God. By now, right now, we walk by faith, not by sight. But even though we haven't seen God, he abides in us if we're born of God, if we're a Christian. He abides in us, and because he abides in us, we ought to love one another. Because loving one another is what it means to live in line with the God who literally abides in us, who dwells within us. Hallelujah. And then John also says, we ought to love one another, for God's love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God abides in us, and, verse 12, his love is perfected in us. Now that's something that in its fullness won't happen until we're promoted to glory or Jesus returns. But it's an ongoing process where God's love is being perfected in us. He is doing a pruning work in us and so forth. He abides in us, and on a daily basis, he's making us more like Jesus. He is working in us such that we would bear the fruit of the Spirit, our theme verses for this sermon series. And that includes his love being perfected in us, where we are loving him and loving one another more faithfully, more wholeheartedly, more effectively. And the idea of perfection, Bible scholar Howard Marshall gives us some help with this. He said, it's the idea of being made complete. It means that the Christian's love is entire and mature. To receive and obey God's word, to be made perfect in love, the thought of pleasing and serving God is supreme in the Christian's motives and molds his conduct. We must bear in mind two things: that perfection is not incompatible with further progress and development. It has the idea of an ongoing process. And second, that John's statement here must be placed paradoxically alongside his earlier assertion that it is wrong for us to say we are without sin. So in other words, among other things in 1 John, he tells us in chapter 1 that if we say we're without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The same John who said that says God's love is being perfected in us, and that's one of the reasons why we should love one another. So brothers and sisters, first of all, you're beloved. So let us, you and I, let us love one another. We ought to love one another. Because as John says, God so loved us, he abides in us, his love is perfected in us. All right, third, I want to leave us with two examples about how to love one another, and it brings us back to Galatians 5. How to love one another, two examples from Galatians 5. And again, I'm connecting here this concept of the fruit of the Spirit, and today we've just looked at the first one. There's 9 attributes that Paul mentions. The first is love, and in this passage of Galatians 5, he has already talked about the call to love and serve one another, as well as contrasting the fruit of the Spirit with what he calls the works of the flesh or the sinful desires of the flesh. So here's two examples of how to think and how to live in a way that will help us love one another. Okay? And if, again, we've come back now to our theme verses for this sermon series. So how to love one another. First, use our freedom in Christ to love and serve one another. In Galatians 5, before he lists these 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, backing up in verse 13, Paul says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters." And this, in the context, he's been rebuking those who wanted to, who were thinking that in order to be right with God, in order to be justified, they had to obey the works of the law, which included circumcision, and they were falling away from grace. And now in today's world, that's not as big an issue as it was in Paul's day, but we do have this idea where people think in terms of being good enough. And if they do believe in an afterlife, it's oftentimes based on how good we are. But one thing we find out in the gospel is that our good isn't good enough. We have fallen way short. We need a Savior. But it's not just to become a Christian, but the understanding that living the Christian life and living in a right relationship with God is also by grace. And that we are set free from the burden of, on a daily basis, thinking, have I been good enough? Have I done enough good works? We're set free from that burden if we're a Christian. It doesn't mean that it doesn't matter how I live, but this burden of trying to be good enough or this burden of not knowing if I'm good enough, we're set free from that. It is for freedom that we're set free. But what do we do with that freedom? In Galatians 5, Paul emphasizes the key thing here is that we should love and serve one another. Verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, sinful desires, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Sometimes we think about freedom as an important topic. Many times, from a general point of view or from a secular worldly point of view, it's thought in terms of, you know, my rights and what I get to do. And some of that is good. Even as Christians, we need to guard against being overly focused on our rights and so forth, even while we work for things like the free exercise of religion and human rights and so forth. All that's important. But biblically speaking, we want to understand that when it comes to freedom, the primary thing about biblical freedom is that we are set free to be who God created us to be and do what God created us to do. And the first and foremost thing of that is to know and love God, to know and love Christ. And in the context here in Galatians 5, that includes being set free from the burden of trying to be good enough and doing the things that we think we need to do to earn God's favor and earn a right standing with him and stay in a right standing with him. We're set free from that. And again, that doesn't mean it doesn't matter how we live, but we understand that my relationship with God, being right with God, is based on what Christ has done and my receiving that. Since I'm set free from the burden of trying to be good enough or wondering if my salvation, I have it today and I lose it tomorrow, I'm set free from that burden. I'm secure in Christ because I put my faith in Jesus. Now, what do I do with that freedom? Well, among other things, I realize I have power and I have freedom to love one another. There's other things I want to do with that freedom. To read this book, not out of anxiety, but because I want to know God. I'm secure in his love. I'll read the Bible and I'm set free to focus on knowing God by reading the Bible. There's a lot of examples, but here in Galatians 5, the focus is if we're free in Christ, we should love one another. And the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in this chapter is in contrast to what was going on in the churches that John was writing to, where there was bickering, there was dissension, there was division, there was a lack of loving one another. And here's one of the things that empowers us to love one another, to realize we are free in Christ, free from the burden of trying to earn God's favor, free from the burden of trying to stay in right favor with God on a daily basis. We're free from that burden. What do we do with that freedom? I'm going to use the freedom that I have and the power I have from that freedom to love one another. I'm going to think about what are ways that I can love the people in Lake Region Bible Church. And again, that love would include for our family, it would include for our neighbors, it would include for our enemies. But the focus in 1 John and the focus in Galatians 5 is loving brothers and sisters in Christ. So how do we do that? Well, one is to realize the freedom I have in Christ. Make sure, one, I know I'm free in Christ from the burden of the works of the law, trying to earn God's favor. And then use that freedom to love one another. Here's the other example. I'll close with this. Walk by the Spirit, and we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The freedom in Christ includes at least two things that Paul mentions in Galatians 5. We're free from the burden of trying to earn God's favor by being good enough. We can't. We're also free from the sinful desires or works of the flesh. Now, you and I, we taste of that every day, just like we may at times struggle with trying to earn God's favor and know I need to repent of that. Christ has done that for me. Even as Christians, and those of you who've been, you know, we have some who've been probably Christians 7 decades or so, we still have a sin nature. If you're in a human, physical, perishable body, you still have a sin nature. And you've been born of God, if you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You're empowered by God to live a godly life and, among other things, love one another. But you and I, we have a sin nature. We're very aware of it, if we have any sense of humility at all. And here, Paul in Galatians 5 tells us what that sinful nature looks like, the desires of the flesh or the works of the flesh. He says, verses 19 to 21, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry," which is loving anything more than God, "sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That is the works of the flesh, of the sinful flesh. That is in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Today we've looked at just the first one, love. The fruit of the Spirit, the first attribute, love. And the focus in Galatians 5 and the focus in 1 John 4 is that that love would be demonstrated by you and I loving one another. And part of the way we do that is by being reminded that we are free in Christ from the burden of earning God's favor, so we use that freedom to love one another. And we walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, this is what he says right before the fruit of the Spirit verses. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Those sinful desires that I just read, that's always going to be in us until we're promoted to glory or Jesus comes back. But when Paul says you will not gratify, that means you will not be in bondage to, you'll be set free from it. The temptation will be always be there, but because you're walking by the Spirit, you will not be in bondage to sin. You'll be free from the burden of trying to earn God's favor on the one side, and you're free from the bondage to sin on the other side if you walk by the Spirit. And walking by the Spirit includes things like, first of all, making sure you've put your faith in Jesus. Reading the Scriptures on a daily basis. Not just because you should, but because you want to know Jesus. Doing what we're doing right now. We have gathered on a Sunday morning to worship God, to fellowship together, to feed on His Word, to sing, to pray. Be part of a small group. Be part of a prayer group. Use the spiritual gifts that God has given you to serve in the church and to serve out in the community. Obey what you know, recognizing there's a lot in this book I don't know. But obey what you know in God's power, not your own strength, with God's wisdom, not in your own human understanding. And where you might be struggling or you have questions, ask. But walking by the Spirit, as we do that, the sinful desires are put to death. That temptation's always there, but the power of sin has been broken. And we're empowered to live a godly life. If we're walking by the Spirit, we're not walking, giving into the sinful desires of the flesh. And that includes a lot of things. Paul's focus in Galatians 5 is contrasting. If we're walking by the Spirit, we will not be doing the works of the flesh, the sinful desires of the flesh. Instead, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one is love. And his focus in Galatians 5 is that love would cause us to love and serve one another. Same theme in 1 John 4. And we do that because we're beloved. Let us love one another. We ought to love one another because love is from God. I'll close with this brief story. We have three kids, Josiah, Grace, and Amy. Our middle child, Grace, years ago, my wife Gwen said to Grace one time, "There's no one like Grace." But that's not what Grace heard. What she heard was, "No one likes Grace." And Grace got choked up and started to cry and said, "But Lizzie likes me." Now, we're very glad that Grace spoke up. Perhaps she would have forever been damaged as a child thinking that no one likes her. But at least Lizzie liked her. More than that, there's many people that love her, and God loves her, and God loves you and me. And there's just something powerful within us in which we long to be loved. That longing is put in there in us by God. As we continue to open up our hearts to experience His love, part of the way that love continues to grow in us is by us dishing it out to one another. And we actually grow in experiencing God's love and knowing Him as we choose to act on it by loving one another. And loving one another is not what gives us God's love, but rather it's His love is upon us and in us and flows through us. And it's the first attribute of the fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray.